Well, happy Father's Day. It's a blessing and a privilege to get to bring a message today. Very thankful for our fathers. I tell you, when you hear a little children, that is such a beautiful sound, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing for families to be together in God's house with God's people. There's no better place on earth to be than here with God's people. So I'm very thankful for the privilege and opportunity to be here. We're grateful for our fathers. You know, God instituted three institutions on earth. The first is the family, and we praise God for that. We know that all three of those institutions, the family, the government, and the church, are all under assault in these days. But we're so thankful for His provision and protection and guidance in these days. So we're grateful for our fathers today. Happy Father's Day for sure to all our fathers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. We thank you, God, for our fellowship. We pray for each one, particularly our fathers today. Thank you, God, for these godly men. I pray that you would strengthen our families in these days. God, give us wisdom, give us courage, give us determination to seek you above all else. And I pray, God, that we would live lives that give you glory in all things. Thank you for our mothers and our children as well. Thank you for the grandparents, aunts and uncles, Lord. Thank you for the people you put in our lives, Lord, to bless us as we are here to bless one another. I pray all that we do and say would raise and exalt your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, last week, Pastor Eric preached a sermon, and he said that ministers are judged in three spheres. Now, I had to look that word up, but that word really means a distinguishing, unifying characteristic of any aspect of life. Let me repeat that. A sphere is any aspect of life that has a unifying, distinguishing characteristic. And I want to borrow that today because this sermon is about from darkness to light. And I want to use the idea of the sphere in regard to darkness and light. Certainly, that is taught to us in Scripture, the idea of the metaphor of light, one representing God and righteousness, the metaphor of darkness representing unrighteousness and evil. So in light of that, no pun intended, we want to just bring a short message on the transition from darkness to light. And I want to look at a couple of verses first. One is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, where Paul the apostle writes, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then verse 11, just a few verses down from there, he says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." So in light of that, we want to examine what exactly God's word has for us concerning light and darkness. And I can think of no better place to go than Acts chapter 26. So if you would turn there, we're going to focus on one verse. Now remember, Acts 26 is where Paul is really having a hearing before King Agrippa. King Agrippa really has no authority over Paul in this territory, but he has been called in by Governor Festus, because Festus, being a Roman new to the post of governor, really has no understanding of the Jewish religion. He cannot really come to an idea of what the Jews actually want as far as a charge against Paul. So Festus asks King Agrippa, who is an expert on these matters, to sit in, and so he does. And so this hearing before King Agrippa is where Paul gives one of his several testimonies to the people. Not only King Agrippa and Festus, but but also others, many other important individuals in that area. And because of this, Paul uses this not only as an opportunity to defend himself, but to give exposition of the gospel. And he does so beautifully, and he really sums up in verse 18, he really sums up the commission that Christ gives him. He has this vision of Christ. He responds to it. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And then Christ tells him, rise and stand up. I'm going to make you a minister and a witness and an apostle, he says, because you are going to be sent to the Gentiles. And this is the message you are going to proclaim. And that's where verse 18 is our focus verse of this passage. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is Jesus himself speaking, and these words were burned into the consciousness of Paul. They were burned into his mind as well, and he took this to heart. It says in the very next verse, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He fulfilled this to the very utmost of the ability which God supplied to him. And we are the beneficiaries of this record today in this passage. So when we consider this passage, the very first aspect of what Paul's commission from Christ was is to open their eyes. Now, I might not be the best person to ask about this, but people that have their eyes closed cannot take full advantage of light that is present. So the light that is present is of no benefit if your eyes are closed. This is something that is clear to all who can see to recognize the importance of having your eyes open. And yet, Christ is saying, Paul is being sent to open their eyes. Now, another idea of one with closed eyes is to have a firm, settled conviction, immovable in your whatever that thought or conviction is. You're not going to be moved off of that. The story goes from years ago that a radio broadcast was between what seemed to be two ships who were on a collision course. The one ship radios to the other to turn aside, to change course. The response of the other was to refuse and to tell the first ship to change course. The second ship repeats the request, and again, the response is the same. The third time, the first ship radios and says, well, we're a battleship of the U.S. Navy, the mightiest fleet in the world, and we command you to turn and change your course. There was a silence, crackle on the radio, and the response was, we are a lighthouse. Now, we can have our eyes closed and keep them closed, but that is not in the loving thought and concern of Christ for his creation. He sent Paul to open their eyes. We are to have eyes that are open in these days, to understand, to be able to receive what he would have for us, because the idea there of darkness is so great, it is to be combated in every way. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul did. If you would, look again at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, where Paul really gives a very short but concise idea of the dangers and the terrible, terrible condition of those that are in darkness. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord," and he's writing this again to the Ephesian church, "that you are to no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." What an awful, awful state to be in. And yet this is the state of those who do not know Christ. This is their place. This is where they are. Regardless of how we recognize them or look at them, this is what Scripture is saying concerning those apart from Christ. This is their condition. And because of that, Paul worked with all his might, just as we Christians are to work with all our might. And praise God for men who go and preach in open air and who evangelize and share the gospel. My wife, Laurie, was telling me this week, she heard the gospel being shared in the produce section of the grocery store. Praise God that people are sharing the gospel in the produce section of grocery stores and in libraries and on sidewalks and wherever we are to be ambassadors of the gospel of Christ because of their condition. What a terrible place for them to be. And this opening of the eyes is not just for that alone, but it's to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. This is a call to repentance. And Paul does this in verse 20. If you look there at Acts chapter 26, verse 20, where he simply says, that was his message from Damascus to Jerusalem, through all the territory of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, to call them to repent, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. This is what God's word says. This is what his message was. And it should be our message today, regardless of the reluctance of people to want to preach and teach repentance. We are to be faithful to the word of God. We are to call people to turn from their sin and turn to God, just as Paul did here in the book of Acts. We are to do that, to call people to turn from sin, not just to receive Christ where they are, but to turn, repent of their sin. Their picture in the New Testament of putting off the old man, putting on the new man. These are all images of turning, not only turning from sin, but turning to God in faith in Christ. So this is to be what we're about. We are part of a transformative religion. Christianity is about transformation. Jesus told us in John chapter 3, you must be born again. And so you must. You must be born again. You cannot improve your flesh. We're called to die, to put our flesh to death, and to walk in newness of life. So as we look at these passages, there's so many passages that speak to this, but 2 Corinthians 5:17, of course, tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so it is. in the life of a Christian. For those that are in the sphere of faith in Christ, we are new creatures. We are to walk in that. Walk in the light of the Lord. So as we look beyond this passage here concerning not only turning from darkness to light, but turning from the power of Satan to God, we are reminded in the book of Colossians in chapter 1 of the beautiful passage in verse 13 that describes exactly how this is done, because it is an entirely done work of God in our life. We cannot save ourselves. We do works befitting repentance as a result of salvation, don't we? Works do not save. Works are only the result of salvation. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, where it speaks of salvation by grace through faith. And yet in verse 10, it speaks of our works, that we are to do works that which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the works are a result of salvation. They do not earn salvation. So as we do works befitting repentance, it's because we have been saved. And yet in Colossians chapter 1, going back to that, we want to look at that image there in verse 13 of chapter 1. He has delivered us, speaking of God, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. What a beautiful picture of salvation. What God has done, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transported us or delivered us, depending on your translation, into the kingdom of Christ, the Son of His love. This is what has been done if we are in the sphere of light, if we are in faith in Christ. And this is why we need it, because we need deliverance from the power of darkness in these days. This is a real issue. This is not something that is a literary device. It is true that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we are to walk in that power. And yet, beyond that, even that, verse 18 tells us in Acts 26 that we may be forgiven, that we may have forgiveness of sins, and that we may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, Jesus says. So not only are these ideas about being turned from darkness to light and turned from the power of Satan to God, we are also to receive forgiveness of sins. And we see that in verse 14 of Colossians chapter 1, where he says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. What a beautiful blessing for us as Christians that we have forgiveness of sins, something we can take so lightly and even overlook. And yet, there's nothing greater in the world than to have our sins forgiven and to know that we have been born again and we have an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. We are part of the family of God. We are in that sphere, walking in the light of the Lord. That is what we as Christians are to do. Even though it appears like we are like any others, we are in that sphere. We are within that beautiful kingdom that we have been transported into. And not only do we have forgiveness of sins, we do have an inheritance. And this is something that Paul never got over this. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, which we're not going to do, but in Ephesians chapter 1, he mentions it three times in one chapter, speaking of the inheritance we have in Christ. But right now we want to look at, again at Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. What a beautiful thing of the saints in the light. We are to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I know we can rush through these passages sometimes, and I'm very, very guilty of doing that. But when we consider the beauty and the strength and the power of the Word of God to recognize what we are to give thanks for, here Paul is giving thanks that we have been qualified through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ to be partakers, to take part in the inheritance. Praise God, praise His holy name for what He has done, the blessings He gives us, the inheritance we have promised, set aside for us. And not only that, here on earth we have the blessings of faith in Christ. Because as Paul was given this commission to open eyes, he did this through many ways. He preached, he established churches, he taught. And yet I can think of no greater way he did it than to be inspired to write several books of the New Testament. Well, what a blessing that we have the Word of God to give us light, to turn us from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. Left to our own devices, we would have no hope. And yet, we have the Word of God. And as he wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, he wrote that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We are to receive faith as a gift, and we receive it through the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Now these spheres we've talked about today in just these few minutes are so distinct, and yet we look and think of salvation. Salvation is available to all who would call upon the name of the Lord. And yet it is not cheap. It is free, but it is not cheap. It is bought by the precious blood of Christ. So as we turn and put our faith in Christ and come to Him, we are to recognize that we have been bought, we have been purchased with a cost. And because of that, we are to understand that salvation is not just making a profession. It is being born again, having a new nature that only God can give. And so as we recognize the promises of Scripture, we're to hold fast to them and believe them. That if we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised from the dead, we'll be saved. Well, what a promise. That is not easy believism. That is making Jesus Lord of your life. To live in the sphere of His influence as a citizen and subject of the kingdom of God. That is what we are called to do. That is what Paul's commission was in his day, and it is the commission today of us in the church. We are to call people to faith in Christ. So I want to say in closing, even here today at this very moment, we are here among two spheres. One is the sphere of light and the kingdom of God, those who walk in faith and trust in Jesus. And the other, those that are in the sphere of darkness, who are walking in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, who are alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance and the blindness of their heart. Such a distinction, so close and yet so far. We cannot see these spheres, but they exist. You know, Charles Spurgeon gives a story of back in the middle of the 19th century of a British ship that docked on a southern port. And as people of the town were likely to do, some of them came on board the ship to visit and just to see it, as we do even in port cities in our day. And one lady came on board with her slave lady beside her walking on the ship, and she laughed after a while, laughed at the captain hearing about the politics of Britain at the time, and laughed and said, "I suppose if me and my slave were to go to England, she would be a free woman." The captain looked at her and said, "She is a free woman. The moment she stepped foot on this British vessel, she became a free woman. The laws of England apply to its navy." So that woman at that moment, she could look over at the dock, just a few feet away, up the short gangplank, where they were standing, where the wind was blowing on them, where the sun was shining on them, where legally this woman had a legal right to a slave, and yet walking these few feet, entering this sphere of influence of England, this slave was free. She was no longer a slave. And by the way, she stayed on the boat. A few feet makes a huge difference in spheres of influence. And yet here today, we have some who are in darkness. And we call today that you would turn to Christ, put your faith and trust in Him, believing Him, walking in His light. As we hear in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I pray today you would come to light, and those that are in the light, we would do as Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, that we would walk in the light. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, for the commission to the beloved Paul the apostle. We thank you for the commission to us today as Christians, God, that we would call people to faith in Christ, whether in an open-air arena or in a produce section, or at a home or sidewalk, wherever it may be. I pray, God, we would be salt and light to those we encounter that do not know Christ. I pray, God, you would give provision and prosperity to your word, that it would accomplish what you please. And we trust you in that. We thank you, God, for the time we have now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.